Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zenlith. I'm Jay Nemro, and we're doing a whole different recording scheme here in my incredible, almost gastric need to have smaller files so that it's even easier to share, Jay. I've gone to a completely alien, foreign voice format. Much smaller, much more compact, and made for speech, which is exactly what I do. So, here we are. If you want to listen to these, you're going to have to get the Vox, the Toolvox player, and from the test I did yesterday, this is beautiful. It sounds much better than the MP3 files, much more compact. And, you know, it's always important to be a little bit different. Always. If you're a little too accessible and too easy, if you don't stand out from the crowd, hey, nobody notices you. So here's Jay standing out from the crowd, being a jerk, just for you. All right. I was thinking magic bullets this morning. I have to be honest. If you're listening to this, this is the 10th of November, 2006. There's just been a huge upheaval in the United States, at least on a political, in the political arena. The Republicans, who have pretty much controlled both houses of Congress for nearly 12 years now, they lost both just here in the last couple of days. Congress, when they come back in January, after all the things they have to do now, just kind of their little lame duck thing, the Democrats will be in charge of both houses of Congress. They just barely have majority in the Senate, have a better majority in the House of Representatives. Does this indicate a sea change in the way things are going in the United States? I don't know. Frankly, I don't think it's going to change as much as people wish it would. It'll change in, I don't know if they're small ways, but I don't think they're going to change in huge ways that people actually voted for. You know, people say, oh, we're going to get a higher minimum wage, and you go, don't count on it. Don't count on it. It may happen, but no guarantees. George Bush has not been big on how do you say it? Sorry, he hasn't been big on vetoing anything. He started. He finally vetoed something. It was stem celery? Something like that. Something really kind of weird. And I think we'll be seeing a whole lot more vetoes out of his office after this. To put all this into context, number one, it really doesn't matter. If you're going to get weird and strange, you shouldn't get weird and strange about things like this. Is government going to essentially change? No. Are we going to win back the freedoms that we lost under the Republicans? No. You know, is the war really going to end? It may end sooner, but is it really going to end? No. Because this is something that we've dedicated ourselves to, unfortunately. I didn't approve of the war when we got started. And now that we're in a quagmire, I'm not going to gloat because I didn't know we were going to get in a quagmire. I just didn't want to go to war with anybody. I didn't think that we were justified. It wasn't that I was some kind of seer and could see the future. Like so many people say, I saw it coming. I knew this was going to happen. You know, well, maybe. Maybe they might have known. I didn't. I just didn't want to go to war. I didn't think it was worth fighting for. Let Saddam Hussein keep picking on their people until their people get so mad that they rise up against him and kill him. Let them do it. Why do we have to get so involved in it? That's my question. But see, all that stuff really doesn't matter particularly. you know, this big change in Congress, boom, from one party to another, really, I don't think is going to signal particularly anything. You know? Oh, you know, there's some legislation that wasn't even proposed, that it will be proposed, some of it will pass. And, yeah, there might be a few things that change. But by and large, the general direction that we're going in, the general things that we're doing, really doesn't have to do with Congress. So much it has to do with just the way Americans have kind of become. I apologize, I'm feeling a little croupy today. I've been sick, I've been under the weather for probably about 2 weeks. And, you know, I'll take a day off here or there when I really feel bad, but by and large, keep on working, keep on doing what I'm supposed to do, and that's why it stays in there. I think as Americans, we're real stupid. I think we should actually take a rest when we're sick, get this stuff over and come back. But, you know, it's kind of stuck into our psyche. By golly, we're going to keep working until we drop. I think that comes from our kind of immigrant background, that we kind of live lives of quiet desperation as we strive to feed our families, and that we'll die young, and, you know, and that we'll have horrible health, and yada, yada, yada. I guess I kind of come from that mentality. I should probably wake up and stop doing that. But I'm saving my sick leave for some horrible time when I'm desperately ill. Because that time will come, I guarantee you. All right. Let me talk about the magic bullet in relation to Iraq. There's been all kinds of talk on the radio now that there's been a sea change. Donald Rumsfeld, who's been the Secretary of Defense and kind of been prosecuting this war, I love how they say prosecute, because it's almost like he's going after some kind of, you know, criminal. I guess technically, sort of, you could say that. But I just love that term. He's gone. Donald Rumsfeld just got his walking papers. He resigned, but everybody knows what that means. It means he was going to be gotten rid of. This gave him a chance to walk out first. He hasn't made a statement. I don't think he ever will. Well, he might. I don't know. But he's gone. So now everybody's talking about, we're going to talk about the exit strategy now. Even President Bush is talking about it. Interesting. So, which 2 weeks ago, no way. You know, he had just barely backed off of constantly saying, we're going to stay the course. And you go, and people are starting to ask, well, what the heck's the course? Where are we going? Perpetual, you know, fighting in the streets? Is that what we're going to do in Iraq? Since we own it, what are we going to do with it? Well, they're going to start talking about, we're going to have political ways of getting this done. Which, I don't know, I guess means that we're going to do our wars in the halls of whatever serves as the Iraqi parliament. You know, the fight's going to happen there, we hope. Just like it works here in America, you know. We don't have wars out in the streets. We have people lobbing grenades at each other in the House chambers, for Pete's sakes. That's where war properly needs to be waged. Ah, yes, yes. We're so elevated, you know. We're so much better than everybody else is. Okay. So we have all these things going. And I was thinking this morning, I said, is there a simple way to get us out of this? And you go, yeah, there is. It's very, very easy. Now, I was thinking about this in a two-step thing. I think I'm going to switch the two steps just because I don't want a lot of people to get hurt. You know? Is there going to be a civil war in Iraq as soon as we pull out? Yes. It's just waiting there to happen. The government's rather weak. You know, if there's any strength at all to it, it comes from us. When we pull out, I don't care if it's 30 years from now or 10 years from now, they're gonna start a civil war, because there's just three factions that want to get one up on each other no matter what. The Sunnis and the Shia and the Kurds. You know, the Kurds have been autonomous for long enough that they ain't giving it back for nobody. So is there going to really be an Iraq? Well, maybe a name only. That's really the way kind of it is now. It's already kind of three separate countries. And it's just a question of who's, you know, who's trying to kill who at the moment. So there's a two-step plan, a two-step magic bullet, which is a simple thing that can make everything a whole lot better just in one fell swoop. This is how I would do it. This is what I propose to the world. It's for you. Enjoy. The first thing you have to do is you've got to get these people, you got to get these people out of there. We have to get out of there. We have to withdraw, period. And you know, keeping us in there as if we're doing any help, as if we're going to help the government. The government's going to have to find its own way over there, honestly. And if a new dictator rises up, how do you think Saddam rose? Did we help him? Good, yeah, probably. We probably had influence over a lot of things that happened back then. Because we intervene. We see, I forget what they call it. I call it compelling national need, which is silly. We're trying to protect our national interests. There we go. It is usually oil. And it's pretty dubious. Anyway, okay, so I think the first thing we do, now it's two-step. We pull out, we stop buying their oil. We just get out of the Middle East entirely, and we say, you know what? You can drown in your oil. We're not going to touch it. We're not going to buy it. We're not going to have anything to do with it. OPEC can go burn. It can set all of its stuff on fire for all we care. Because we don't care. I think I'd switch those. I think I'd switch them. And I would have us just divorce ourselves from oil first. That would make it so much more easy, because I think you could do it that way. I think the American people are tired of being kind of stretched over the barrel, as they say, the barrel of oil, and that we're kind of beholden to these people because of our oil addiction. We have to get our fix. These guys have the oil, we don't, or we don't have the guts to get the oil out of our own land because we're too kind. We're too nice. You know, we have the technology. We could leave oil. You know, we just need to do it. And that's all there is. It's just got to be done. Otherwise, we'll keep having these wars. These people will keep terrorizing and bombing us because we insist on being in their country, trying to get our way accomplished there so that we can keep oil flowing or whatever. It used to be a dirty secret. You know, people always said, oh, you know, the first Iraqi war in the 90s, the early 90s, it was kind of a dirty secret. Nobody wanted to talk about it. Finally, George Bush said, it's true. We're there for oil. That's our compelling national interest. That's why we're there. Everybody was just stunned that he would actually admit to that. And then we all sat down and we said, yeah, that's right. That's, you know, there was still a vocal minority of people that said, we can't go there for oil. That's just lining the holes for the rich people. But then everybody said, wait a minute, man. We really do want the oil. Shut up. And so those guys keep on being crazed lunatics out there screaming that we shouldn't have oil. Well, you know what? I think the crazed lunatics, even though they were nuts, I think they were right. We need to develop our oil reserves here in the United States. We've got tons of it. If we need to march into Canada and take theirs, number one, they let us because they don't have any way to stop us. And, you know, we need to do that. We need to deal with the Canadians. You know, take their oil. We need to go into Alaska. We need to take that oil. We need to do all that because there's plenty of oil up there. we also need to develop other ways of taking care of the things that we depend upon oil for, transportation. And we have all the technology to do this, we just have never had the will before. It was much easier to keep those who are in power now with oil and car company kind of conglomeration. It's much easier right now. The car companies are starving. You know, we send most of our money to Japan to get our cars, and nobody feels bad about screwing Japan over. They pretty much have all of our money anyway. So why not tell them, hey guys, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to get your cars anymore, and, because we're not going to be using oil anymore. We're going to come up with another way to get ourselves around. It's a marvelous idea. Vegetable oil, man. Grow more soy so we can turn it into oil so that we can burn it in our diesel vehicles. And, marvelous. We can do it. We can do it easily. It's a no-brainer. We crank out tons of vegetable oil every day. We'll just increase our ability to do so. It's not as hard as refining oil, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to look into that. What a wonderful idea. And we get off of that. Then all of a sudden, something happens in the Middle East. Number one, the one thing that gave them any power at all is over. The Middle East will all of a sudden become like Africa. Do you worry about Africans coming here and blowing up our stuff? No, you don't. And why not? Because they don't. They're so busy either starving or having civil wars and killing each other that they don't have time to worry about what America's doing to them. They're much more worried about how they're going to live another day and who's going to be their next warlord. I say, let's let the Middle East be the same way. You know? Let them fight over that stuff amongst themselves. They've already started. Let's just say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. We can do what we do in Africa, which is kind. We go in there, we try to teach them how to grow food. We try to teach them how to, you know, purify their water so they don't get dysentery and malaria. You know, we start fighting a different battle there. But it's one in which everybody loves America. I don't see the people in Africa saying, we hate America, America sucks. They don't do it. We pretty much stayed out of Africa. And look at how they feel about us. Anytime we come in with any kind of help at all, they love us. All those wonderful people, they, you know, all those guys, they want to come to America. They want to come to America to bomb us? No, they want to come to get education, to get opportunity. Some of them to go back to Africa and do great things. Some of them to stay here and do great things. Africa's great. We like it. You know, we've chosen to kind of not get involved with it. It's been a wonderful thing. You know, everybody says, oh, we can't do that. It'll be a slap in the face if we do that. We'll encourage more terrorism if we get out of the Middle East. We said, hey, honestly, when the colonial powers, France and England and Germany, when they got out of Africa, there was no retaliation. Did they keep setting them aid? Sure. But they got out. And there it is. I said, so Iraq is our colony. You don't see them scrambling to get nuclear weapons. They don't care. We can take care of nukes right now in Iran. It's real simple. Quit buying their oil, and they won't have any money to do anything. They'll be lucky to feed their people. And those are the kind of people that don't look 10,000 miles away to start bombing people. They don't have enough money for bombs anymore. It sounds like we're going to starve them out. That, and that sounds cruel, but it's really not. it gives us all an opportunity to step back and say, well, hey, here it is. There's nothing, there's nothing going on. There's nothing else left to do. They will return to third world. See, that sounds bad. They'll return to third world status. You know, whoever their leader is, they're both the leader because they're most effective at getting oil profits. That'll dry up. Who are they going to sell their oil to? The Russians? The Russians have oil. They have oil coming out their freaking ears. Why don't we buy our oil from the Russians? They're safer. They're not going to bomb us. They're scared to death we're going to bomb them. Perfect. Why don't we take care of our own energy needs, and all of a sudden, we won't have to go out and look for oil somewhere else and then try to take over that country so that we can at least take it over enough that we have a guaranteed supply. We don't need it anymore. All of a sudden, the king of Saudi Arabia becomes kind of a funny acronym. It's like, what? King of what? Who are you, man? You've got to be kidding me. You're nobody. You know, it's just sure you're a king, but you're a pissant. We don't care about you. You're nothing. So that's my prescription. The magic bullet to keep these guys in their place. Or, see, that sounds bad. I don't really want to keep them in their place. If they get ahead, I want them to get ahead on their own instead of saying, well, we have all the oil, so we're going to behave the way we want to. Because we've got tons and tons of money, and you depend on us. Get down on your knees. Genuflect! We're not going to have that. Because we'll say, we're not beholden to you, and we're not going to come after you anymore. We're not going to prop up your corrupt government, and we're not going to go marching in when your corrupt government decides to turn on us. We ain't gonna do it. It's over. Have a nice day. It's been sweet. You guys have been fun. But we're out. We're out. Absolutely out. We have absolutely no interest in doing any of this anymore. Wouldn't that be great? The war would end. The terrorism would end. Who cares? It's just like us going and bombing China. Are you crazy? Why don't we bomb China? We wouldn't be able to have three-quarters of the cheap plastic doodads that we so love. We're not going to do anything to China, and China's not going to do a dang thing to us because they want to keep us rich and haughty because then they buy all of our stuff. It works for those who are in power right now. So that's just going to stay. So, you know, you need to take advantage of the fact that it's peaceful. You know, we can send help over to whoever it is. Gladly. Gladly help them. Oh, I've been struggling here with my power supply. I've got the worst power supply in the universe. Sometimes it works great. Other times it doesn't work hardly at all. It just really kind of depends. So, someday I'm going to send the sucker back. When I have any interest at all in doing it. Maybe I'll do it over the Christmas break. That'll work well. Of course, I can't steer the car when I'm trying to do this, too. All right. This is Jay Nero. You've been listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Analyst, the new Vox recordings, much smaller, much more compact, and hopefully sound a whole lot better. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zenolith. Have a great day.